God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen. The Word of God says, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going into the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. This time I'd like to go to God in prayer. And Tim, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be sitting. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. Not the end, but the beginning. Aren't you glad of that today? It wasn't the end of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was simply the beginning of us having freedom from our sins and freedom from walking away from all of our past and knowing truly today that we serve, here's your first big amen today, that we serve the risen Savior. Amen? That He is alive and well in our hearts, in our lives, and we should rejoice in that and knowing that He is with us every day. This is a great day of celebration. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs out there, and there's going to be a lot of people eating a lot of big meals today, but we have to remember the importance of this day that we celebrate today, the day that sets our Christianity in motion, doesn't it? In knowing that was the day that somebody loved you enough to lay down their life for you. Somebody loved you enough to let their son die upon an old rugged cross for you. That somebody loved you enough that you did not have to. I'm thankful today that I didn't have to hang on that cross. Amen? I'm thankful today I didn't have to go through all of that agony and all that pain that Jesus went through. I'm thankful today that Jesus took my place. And you know what? He took your place too, didn't He? He took your place on that cross and all that pain and all that He went through. He did it simply for you. We know there's a lot of people today that's going through some difficult times in this world. A lot of people that's living a defeated life. A lot of folks that just don't have that joy inside of them. You know that joy that you felt Friday night? Wasn't that a churning joy inside of your hearts to have all of these people that you love? And it's always amazing to me, you have seven different preachers with seven different preaching styles from different denominations and from different counties and from different places. Isn't it amazing how they all can come together in one accord and feel the presence of God? And that rubs off to you, doesn't it? Now, I know everybody here this morning. I didn't know everybody in church Friday night. But I tell you what, we were one church body, wasn't we? And you could feel that joy. You could feel that in your heart and your life. And we as Christians not only get to experience that on Good Friday, we should experience that when? Every day. And knowing not only is Jesus alive and well on Easter Sunday, but Jesus is alive and well, what? Every day. Every day. And He is with us every day. Now think to yourself if you didn't have that joy. Think to yourself if you didn't have that joy in your life. Think to yourself that you don't have a church you attend. Think to yourself that you're out in the world all by yourself. And folks, we know there's a lot of people like that today, aren't they? A lot of people that don't have that joy in their hearts and in their lives. A lot of people that think nothing about this day has to do with Jesus. All it has to do with all of these other things that have come around at Easter time. and they've lost that joy. They don't feel that. What our goal as Christians should be is to reach them, shouldn't it? To let them be able to feel the same joy that you have. What is so great about the joy of God is it never runs out, does it? His joy is there for us all the time. It's enough joy for me. It's enough joy for you. It's enough joy for everybody throughout the world. We have to be able to experience that in our lives because we do know something. The old devil loves it when we live defeated lives, doesn't he? And the old devil loves it when we put God on the back burner. He loves it when we are losing that joy in our hearts and our lives. But because of that, Jesus says, as we're sharing with you this morning, it's not the end, but the beginning. Jesus gave us victory, didn't he? By going and dying upon that cross, I love that song that we sing, Victory in Jesus. We are victorious today, aren't we? We have victory over many things in our life because Jesus was willing to die upon that cross for you. First of all, we have victory over our sin. Over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God devised the plan where each and every one of us could have our sin debt paid in total because he loves us. One of the ringing themes from Friday night that I heard over and over again, that is very true. We sure have all sinned, haven't we? Some people say, well, they're the biggest sinner that I've ever seen. They've done some terrible, horrendous things. Let me tell you what. There is nobody in this whole wide world that cannot have victory in their life over sin. Jesus reaches everybody, doesn't he? He doesn't put us in categories and say, well, you're too bad or you've not sinned enough. Jesus says, all I need you to do is to pray to me and ask for forgiveness and guidance and direction. Because we all know something. We've all said some things we wish we hadn't said. We've all acted in ways that we wish we hadn't acted. I thank God that there's been times in my life nobody had a camera out video on me saying some things that I shouldn't say, right? But God forgives us, and praise God for that today. We have victory over your sin. And you know what? Doesn't cost you a dime, does it? Didn't cost you anything. All you have to be willing to do is turn your heart and life over to God. I believe one of the most precious things that you can give to your children is two things. Your children knowing that you are truly a Christian and you've turned your heart and life over to God. And not only that, that you talk to them about Christ. And you do your very best to let them know that they can have victory over sin, that God gave them that victory, and God gave them everything that they need. All they have to be willing to do, it's very simple, isn't it? All that you have to do to be able to be victorious over your sins is to allow Jesus Christ, the one that, what? Died upon an old rugged cross for you, that loves you more than anything in this whole wide world, just to allow him to come into your heart and into your life. Not only do we have victory over sin, but we have victory over death. Over in 1 Corinthians 15:55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? One of the things we all know, one day the roll is going to be called up yonder, isn't it? Death is really not a subject you just want to sit around and talk about, is it? It's not anything that you just want to sit around the kitchen table and have a cup of coffee, or you invite people over. I want you to come over. We're going to talk about dying. That's not something we really, really like to do, is it? But praise be to God, this world is not my home. I'm just what? Passing through. Because we have victory over death. Why? because Jesus died upon an old rugged cross for us. And even though I know that, and I'm a Christian, death is still a scary thing, isn't it? When I was in the hospital, getting ready for my heart transplant, and I'll tell you what, you can have any other transplanted part of your body, and you're still living. When the doctor came in and told me he was going to take, he had to explain it to me, and I had to listen, because Sheila made me listen. When the doctor came in and told me, I am going to take your heart out, the one that's all messed up, and I'm going to put another heart in you. The only thing that popped in my mind, you want to know what it was? It wasn't, was this going to hurt? Or how long is it going to take? What's going on? The only thing that popped in my mind for 1 second, then I had another thought, was this. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And believe it or not, I think if your heart's not in you, you're not alive, are you? No beeping, no heart not beating or anything like that. But the next thing that came in my mind was this. It's okay if it happens. Because I know where I'm going to open my eyes at. Praise be to God for that today, right? As Christians, you know that too. As Christians, no matter what happens in this world, nobody can take away your salvation. The world didn't give it. What? And the world can't take it away. You know, because of Jesus dying upon that cross for you, you know that you have victory over death. And you know you're going to be with all the other ones that's went on before you. And you're going to be able to experience that great glory and joy that you will experience in heaven because of Jesus dying on that cross. Also another big victory. We have victory over the devil, don't we? I want you to know today, another big amen, you ready? That Jesus is alive and well. Amen? But you know what else? The devil's alive and well too, isn't he? And boy, he's running hard right now, isn't he? He's running a marathon. He's trying to get in every family and every church, every country, every society. He's doing everything that he can to cause chaos. Everything that he can to destroy marriages, destroy relationships between moms and dads and their kids, trying to destroy churches, trying to destroy the basics of Christianity. He's doing everything that he can. And right now, he's running around. He's probably smiling pretty big, isn't he? Because he's doing a great job of causing all this conflict out in the world. One of the things that I think sometimes we as Christians forget, we have that short-term memory loss sometimes, is God is bigger than the devil. In every aspect, there is nothing in this world that is bigger than God and His ability to defeat Satan. Well, preacher, why is He allowing all this stuff to happen? Why is all these things going on in the world today? If God is bigger than the devil, why is He allowing all of these things to happen out in the world? Well, what we had to realize, and it's hard for me to realize this sometimes too. I don't know if it is for Brother Eric back there. But God's time is not my time. And God's ways is what? Not my ways. And we don't know God's plan. I do know one thing. He does have a plan for us all. Praise be to God. One of these days we're just going to transplant Bethlehem, not a heart, but we're going to transplant Bethlehem Church. Were up to heaven. And I promise you on that day, the devil will be defeated. We have victory over the devil because of Jesus dying upon an old rugged cross for us. Also, we should today live in victory every day of our lives. Now, I know it's Easter Sunday. You know what? Wouldn't it be great just to come every Sunday to church? Wouldn't it be great every day to say, Jesus is alive and well? One more time. Because I have victory. It wasn't the end. It's just the beginning. We're living that new life. We're living the way that Christ wants us to live. And we're living the way every day that Easter is with me. Now today, remember I said I want to take Bethlehem Church and transplant it up to heaven? Well, make sure you hear this part. If you've turned your heart and life over to Christ, that's where you're going to be. Amen? But we don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want Jesus to die upon the cross in vain because somebody is not listening to the call of Christ in his heart and in his life. So if you're here this morning, and there's only two people that really know the answer to this, if you're here this morning and you don't have Christ in your life, today is the day you need to make that change. And the only two people that knows that is who? You and God. And I promise you right now, if that's what God is and you are talking about, right now He's telling you what you need to do. He's telling you that you need to pray and turn your heart and life over to God. I heard this Friday night too, and it's very true today. I can't save you. Nobody in this church can save you. I can pray with you, and I'll give you the direction that God directs me to do it. But we all know today that God is the one that saves us. So all you have to do is talk to Him and allow Him to come into your heart and into your life and make that change. Maybe you've already made that change. Well, praise be to God for that, right? But a lot of us, all of us as Christians, we know we have the mountaintops and we also have the valleys, don't we? Maybe you're in a valley right now. Maybe there's some things that's difficult for you. Maybe you're wondering about what tomorrow looks like or next week or maybe just this afternoon, what it looks like and what are we going to do. Praise be to God for this. Remember, you're still saved even when you're down in those valleys. But you know what? God knows how to get you out of them. God knows how to put you back on top of the mountain. God knows the words that you need to hear or say. When Donna was sharing her glory sighting this morning, wasn't that so true? How that God knows exactly what you need. It may be a song, it may be a word, it may be just a sentence that He says to you, but He tells you, it's okay. I've got you. We will make it through. Maybe today's the day on Easter Sunday. Be a great day. I guess I can say this again this Sunday. I say it almost every Sunday. It'd be a great day to be a new member here at Bethlehem Church on Easter Sunday. You'd always remember that. Easter Sunday. We'd love to have you. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. Whatever Christ has laid upon your heart and your mind this morning, we invite you to come as we have our closing song. Joan Larkin.